Christianity is not about comfort. It's not about ease. It's not about preference. It's not about convenience. It is about going into a lost and a broken world and being the salt and the light and the life and the hope of Jesus into a lost and a broken world. One of the things that has always amazed me about Jesus is how he took notice of what so many people wouldn't even look at. Now, he was inclusive, he loved wholeheartedly, he was compassionate, and he's created you and me to follow his example. So let's not wait another moment to dig deep into his word and discover our calling on this earth. I'm Christine Kane, and I am so thankful that you've joined me today. I'm so grateful that you've joined us today. I believe that God has a word for you. And I know in this season, so many of us have been feeling dry and parched and weary right now. And there is no doubt that we need to be refreshed and reminded that each and every one of us has access to living water, to fresh water. Our thirst can be quenched, that times of refreshing do come from the Lord. And I want to remind you today on the other side of that screen that even in the midst of chaos, division, grief, and suffering, every single one of us can be refreshed and we can be watered by God himself. Now, I love the breadth of Jesus's life and ministry. And, you know, he talked to and he talked with and with everyone from every single sphere of society, every strata of society, race, ethnicity, gender, socioeconomic background. I love this about Jesus Christ, and I love this about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news of the gospel is for all people. I mean, every Christmas I get pumped up because the angels of the Lord came and said, this is good news, full of great joy for all people. I want to remind you today, just watching this, that the gospel is good news. I don't know, maybe you've been hearing a whole lot of bad news recently, but I want you to know that there's a God in heaven that loves you, who sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, from heaven to earth to die on a cross and rise again from the dead, so that every single one of us, without exception, can know what it is to have forgiveness for our past, a fresh life today, and a hope for the future. I want you to know that is good news. There is no better news on the earth. And so this is good news, and it's full of great joy, and it's for all people. And we're going to see in this series how Jesus Christ was inclusive. He included everyone. The scripture says, whosoever will. You know what? If you're watching this today, you're a whosoever. So I don't know what your background is. I don't know what your past is. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've done, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ loves you. There's a place at the table for you. And I want to remind you that Jesus Christ has always used highly unlikely people to do the most unimaginable things. You might feel like a failure. You might feel like you've been some kind of loser. You might feel like you've made too many mistakes. You might feel like you're not smart enough. You're not gifted enough. You're not talented enough. You're not eloquent enough. Some parent might have said, I wish you were never born. Maybe some teacher said that, you know what, you're never going to amount to anything. Maybe some ex-lover or some ex-spouse has said that, you know, nobody could ever love you. Maybe your boss fired you and said, you know what, you're good for nothing. But I'm here to tell you that you are created in the image of God. You are filled with God-given purpose. You are filled with God-given destiny. God has a plan and a purpose, and your history does not need to define your destiny. You are not what anyone else has said about you. You are not what anyone else has done to you. You are who God says you are, and you are filled with God-given purpose and God-given potential. And I know somebody needed to hear that today. One of the things I love most about Jesus is the fact that he includes anyone and everyone. And, you know, we're going to look at a text. I'm going to look at a fairly lengthy text. So I want you to stick with me. Some of you, perhaps you haven't read a lot of the Bible. I'm about to read a lot to you. Those of you that perhaps have fallen behind in your Bible reading plan, you are about to catch up because I'm going to read a lot of scripture. But this is a fascinating story. It is literally one of my favorite stories in the entire Bible, because I find myself and I see myself in this woman. And I have a feeling that you might find yourself in her too. So track with me. We're going to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. And the Bible says, now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. I don't want you to miss those words. He had to pass. He had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well, and it was about the sixth hour. This is going to be very significant. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. How many men does it take to buy food? Obviously, at least 11. There you go. You could have sent one chick. You would have got the same thing. But anyway, the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water again. Because of course, women had to walk far in order to get water. Every ounce of water that they needed for everything, for cooking, for cleaning, for washing, came from the well. And a woman had to walk, and still in many regions of the world, this is a reality today. So no wonder she's thinking, I don't want to come back here to draw water. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. How would you feel if you're stopping by a well and some guy's now reading your mail? He's telling you exactly what's happened in your intimate life and you have never met him before. The story just gets better. It says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from Jesus. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? So the woman left the water jar and went away into town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and they were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see, the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Now, there you go. That is a legitimate portion of Scripture, but it is so exciting. Jesus is on a journey, and the Bible says in verse 4 of John's Gospel, right there, he says, you know what? Jesus had to pass through Samaria. Jesus had to pass. I love that. It really gets our attention. Jesus had traveled from Judea, which is in the south, to Galilee, which is up in the north. If you love maps, you need to look this up on a map. And so basically, it was actually not geographically necessary for Jesus to go through Samaria. He didn't have to in that way. In fact, Jewish travelers normally traveled around Samaria to avoid contact with the Samaritans. They actually didn't want to run into them. I need you to understand, racism is not a new thing. Racism was alive and well in Jesus's day. In fact, the Jews despised the Samaritans and they considered them racially impure. They considered them to be half-breeds and unworthy of fellowship and certainly unworthy of God's favour. So Jesus took the direct route through Samaria. I love this. He had to go through Samaria. He decided to take the direct route. And since the Pharisees were angry that Jesus' disciples were baptising more than John the Baptist was, I wonder whether he perhaps was trying to avoid all of the chaos. I need you to know competition and comparison was rampant in biblical times as well.
Do you sometimes feel tired, overwhelmed, inadequate, like a broken vessel, incapable of letting the love of Christ flow through you? The good news is that you are exactly what the Lord is looking for. We know from His Word that He desires to use the most unlikely people to do the most unimaginable things. For when you allow the living water of Christ to flow through you, you have the power to change the world. Get ready for your heart to be encouraged, your hope uplifted, and your soul refreshed as you discover the power of who you are in Christ in Christine Kane's dynamic series, Living Water.
God can and does use broken and messed up people to take His gospel around the world. Do not minimize the power of your testimony. Don't allow your past to limit your future.
We want to send you your own copy of Living Water as our thank you for your support of TBN this month. Your generosity makes you a messenger of the gospel, taking the hope and grace of Jesus to desperate souls in forgotten places around the world through TBN. Plus, you'll be encouraged as you discover who you really are in Christ through this uplifting series from Christine. Why not take a moment right now to call 800-350-5170 or go to our secure website at tbn.org/livingwater to share your gift and request your own copy. Don't wait. Discover the power of who you are in Christ and let His living water flow through you. Call, click, or write to TBN today.
A people on a mission. Christianity is not about comfort. It's not about ease. It's not about preference. It's not about convenience. It is about going into a lost and a broken world and being the salt and the light and the life and the hope of Jesus into a lost and a broken world. It's bringing love into a loveless world. It's bringing joy into a joyless world. It's bringing hope into a hopeless world. It is bringing peace in a world full of chaos. It is bringing self-control in a world that is full of out of control. It is bringing goodness into a world that is anything but good. That's our job. We're on assignment. And so the Bible says that Jesus had to go. I wonder, you know, during the COVID season in 2020, do you all remember that time? I obviously couldn't get on planes to the degree that I was getting on them prior to when COVID hit. I mean, March 2020, I went down into shutdown like everyone else. Look, I had never been in one country in over 3 decades. I had never been in one country as long as I was in the United States during that whole season. And so I made a decision that I wasn't just going to waste that season. I wasn't just going to kind of like just, you know, do nothing and somehow I knew that the work of God still had to continue. Just because I couldn't get on a plane didn't mean the mission of God had changed. So I decided to do some things I had not done. And one of the great, great things out of that season was that we would do like socially distanced happy hours with our neighbours. So of course we'd be all sitting at different parts, like across the pavement, on the grass, all appropriately socially distanced as were the requirements of the time. But I ended up being in places and with people that I otherwise never would have if I chose to had wasted that season. I think in most of our life, we have to be willing to go and do things we wouldn't normally go and do and be with people we would normally not choose to be with so that we can actually fulfill the mission that God has for us. I cannot tell you how many conversations during that season I had about Jesus, I had about his church with people that were either so far away from God they'd never even walked into a church, or that perhaps had once walked with God but were now away from him or hadn't gone to church in a really long time. Because sometimes you got to go through some places that you wouldn't normally go to meet some people that you normally wouldn't meet. And sometimes God orchestrates that. Like during the COVID season, it wouldn't have been my preference. If that didn't happen, I still would have been on a plane going all over the world and meeting people and sharing about the love of God. But I probably would not have had the impact in my own local neighborhood that I did during that season, because I thought, I am not just going to waste this. I'm not just going to spend this whole season lamenting and murmuring and grumbling and complaining. I am going to make a way to build relationships with people that I normally wouldn't be building relationships with so that we could talk about the Lord. I wonder who is right there in your world. Sometimes you're just used to going out with the normal people that you go out with, having lunch with the people that you normally have. You've got your clique, you've got your group, you've got your crew at work, or you've got your crew at school. And you've just got your crowd and your group. Dare I suggest that perhaps there's a lot of merit in making a decision to say, I'm going to be a little bit uncomfortable. Maybe I'm going to meet some new people, go to some places I've never gone, be out of my comfort zone. Jesus had to. There was a divine assignment. There was a divine appointment. He had to go through Samaria. He went where nobody, no Jewish man, that's for sure. He went where no Jewish man would have gone and ended up meeting someone that he would have otherwise never met. And we're going to see, and as we've seen from this portion of scripture, that he ends up literally ushering in a revival. You don't know what revival is on the other side of your obedience. You don't know who God wants you to use to make his name famous on the earth. God may be wanting to use you to lead someone else to him. God may be wanting to use you to see someone saved or delivered or healed or restored. A word of encouragement, a word of knowledge, a word of prophecy, just a word of exhortation to somebody else. But we're going to have to go where we wouldn't normally go, to be with people we wouldn't normally be with. And perhaps even the kinds of people where many in our own spheres of influence, our own culture, our own tradition, our own nation would say, they are other, we shouldn't be talking to those kinds of people. See, in these times, a Jewish man should not have ever been speaking to a Samaritan woman. So the deal is, are you willing to talk to those that others are not willing to talk to? Are you willing to be with those that others are unwilling to be with? And if you and I are going to fulfill the mission of God in our generation, we've got to be willing to go where no one else will go. We've got to be willing to talk to people that others are not willing to talk to. We've got to be willing to put aside our biases, our prejudices, our presuppositions so that we can love everybody in the way that Jesus loved them. We are called to go into all the world. This is not an option for if you feel like it. We've got to make Jesus' last commandment our first priority. So Jesus came to a place called Sychar, the scripture says. And you know, there had once been a great city there. We see in verse 6, it says that Jesus was weary and had stopped at the well. Now, I don't know about you, but there's something encouraging for me to know that Jesus had felt weary. I wonder if there's anybody on the other side of the screen today, whether you're feeling weary, you're kind of feeling heavy laden, you feel like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. For so many, it's been a rough season. And Jesus, in his humanity, He experienced exhaustion just like you and just like me. And there's something comforting to know that Jesus was fully man, of course, fully God. That's what makes him God, that he was fully man and fully God, and he understands every feeling that we have. He understands our weariness. He understands hunger. He understands thirst. So much of what you and I go through, you've got to understand that we have a God. He is not so distant from us that he doesn't understand what we feel, what we think, how we feel. That's the kind of God he is. He is intricately involved in every aspect of our life, our heart, our emotion, our thoughts, and it matters to him. So Jesus was weary. He needed refreshing. He felt dry just like we would. He needed a drink just like we would. He needed rest just like we would. I don't know about you, but there is something comforting about having a God that understands my limitations, that understands my weaknesses, that understands my humanity. Jesus, Son of God, Son of Man, he understands it. And Scripture tells us that it was the sixth hour. And you know, the sixth hour is midday. It's basically the hottest part of the day. Look, I don't know if you've been in the desert, but I've gone several times to Dubai and to Qatar. And let me just say, when it takes hot to another level. When we're in the middle of the day, I mean, I literally thought I was going to melt in the middle of the day to be in the desert. It is almost unbearable. It is so hot. And so we know that Jesus was also hot and hungry because he sent the other 12 guys to the grocery store. You know, the fact is that I have to laugh, like, you know, if you want to get supplies, you've got to send all 12 of them to the grocery store. But obviously he sent them to the grocery store because they all needed food and drink. So that's a reality. So basically, you know, maybe he came by this well and he wanted to have a break. He'd been working hard. I mean, he had just been up in the temple flipping tables. So, you know, Jesus had like a pretty hard week. And he ends up encountering this woman. Here's what I want to say. I've discovered that divine appointments, so often, man, they turn up when we feel tired and we need a break and we think, I've just come here to rest. And then all of a sudden, a divine appointment turns up. So for you and I to do what God has called us to do, we must have a willingness to be interrupted and to be inconvenienced. Because the fact is that Jesus was weary. Jesus wanted to rest. The 12 disciples had gone in to get refreshments. He came to this well and he was ready to have a break, but there was a divine interruption waiting to happen. I don't know what divine interruptions God has for you, but let me say there is a direct correlation between the amount of divine interruptions we have and our willingness to be interrupted, our willingness to be inconvenienced, our willingness to have our plans interrupted with God's purpose. I believe that God has so much ahead for you in the next week, but you've got to be willing to allow your plans to be interrupted with God's purpose, and you will see you will then have a number of divine assignments that could ultimately lead to revival. Aren't you grateful for our living water? You and I were created to find fulfillment in Jesus and then point others to Him. The source who will never, ever run dry. And if there's any need in your life today, I want to encourage you that God can provide for it. He's not distant or unaware. He's close. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And on behalf of everyone here at TBN, we want you to know that we are praying for you and so grateful for your connection to this ministry. Now, it's always such a joy to talk to you. And if you'd like to get the message you just heard, along with the rest of the series, just call the number on the screen or go online. Now, when you do, you'll make it possible for more people to hear this kind of Jesus-centered programming. I'd love to hear from you, and I'm expectant for what God is going to do in your life in the days to come.
Do you sometimes feel tired, overwhelmed, inadequate? Like a broken vessel, incapable of letting the love of Christ flow through you? The good news is that you are exactly what the Lord is looking for. We know from His Word that He desires to use the most unlikely people to do the most unimaginable things. For when you allow the living water of Christ to flow through you, you have the power to change the world. Get ready for your heart to be encouraged, your hope uplifted, and your soul refreshed as you discover the power of who you are in Christ in Christine Kane's dynamic series, Living Water.
God can and does use broken and messed up people to take His gospel around the world. Do not minimize the power of your testimony. Don't allow your past to limit your future.
We want to send you your own copy of Living Water as our thank you for your support of TBN this month. Your generosity makes you a messenger of the gospel, taking the hope and grace of Jesus to desperate souls in forgotten places around the world through TBN. Plus, you'll be encouraged as you discover who you really are in Christ through this uplifting series from Christine. Why not take a moment right now to call 800-350-5170 or go to our secure website at tbn.org/livingwater to share your gift and request your own copy. Don't wait. Discover the power of who you are in Christ and let His living water flow through you. Call, click, or write to TBN today.